Cole Turpins with Travis Garrison on the Field of 60 Networks. I have journalist Scott Green from Terp Nations. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. No complaints at all. Definitely appreciate you taking time out your day to join me on my podcast to talk some Vernon basketball.
No problem.
Yeah, so we know, you know, tournament's about to start, and you know, Merlin has Michigan State tomorrow. Let's just go backwards a little bit. What do you think about, first of all, let's go back to, you know, Coach Turgeon leaving in the middle of the season. I know we've never seen that in regards of Merlin basketball, especially when it's the season started, kind of just go. And then, like I said, we had the new transfers come in. So we had to get adjusted to that. But now Coach Turgeon steps down. Danny steps in. What was your thoughts when all that happened? Did you see it coming?
It's funny you say that. I was actually at the Virginia Tech game, and I was one of the last people to leave the arena. And right before I left, I actually turned to one of the other people left and said, I just have a feeling we're nearing the end with Turgeon. You know, I didn't think it was as bad as Turgeon kind of made it out to be after the game. But there were definitely some audible boos, some people saying some not nice things to him as he exited the arena, and he just kind of looked defeated. So was I super surprised? No. But like you said, you've never seen anything like this, especially at a program like Maryland. And I get it. They had had a couple bad losses, but this team still had talent, and he still had a ton of games where, you know, you get hot, you beat, you know, a couple ranked teams in a row, and all of a sudden you're right back in the discussion for the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So, I mean, given that he's the one that assembled this talent and he liked what he thought he had, in that regards, yes, I'm absolutely surprised. But right. Based on what I had seen kind of the days leading up to it, it didn't surprise me that much, just kind of based on how he was kind of acting and reacting to some things.
Right. And then, you know, obviously, you know, I've met Coach Turgeon a number of times, went on the show a number of times. Great guy. Yeah. You know, I always, you know, got along with him well. You know, he always welcomed me back to campus. I practiced with those guys a couple of times. But I also know that the environment around him wasn't too pleased with him in regards to the coaching style and things like that and how he went about doing things.
Exactly.
I used to get grilled all the time when I went to, you know, tailgates or, you know, every time I ran into Merlin, even right before that happened, right? I think it was right before the Virginia Tech game. I was out and I was talking to some guys and they were talking about Merlin basketball. And it was like, you know, talking about who they can see the next coach being, or, you know, how is Turgeon going to stay there long? And I was just like, you know, I just think that they're ready to move on past Coach Turgeon,
right.
but I was not expecting that abrupt leaving in the middle of the season like that. And obviously hearing other things in regards to, you know, the type of guy he is, family guy, you know, he felt, I guess, you know, his family maybe was not comfortable in those environments anymore. So I definitely could understand that. And, you know, I don't know if I ever heard the boos coming from Merlin. I know how Merlin fans could be, though. I know how Merlin fans could be, though, but they're super passionate and they love their Terps. They love their Terp sports. So it was very interesting. But when he left, it was I was curious to see how the team was going to adjust, because, like I said, they were still adjusting to the new players coming in.
Exactly.
So that was an adjustment right there. So what were your thoughts? Okay, now we know he left. What were your thoughts after that? Like, could they get things going? Can Danny turn this thing around? Or
I mean, based on the talent that was there and having seen him a little bit in the preseason, I definitely felt like they had the talent to maybe turn around. And, you know, the one thing that's really stuck with me is, you know, I think, I don't want to say anything about him, but, you know, I think some of the guys that came in were maybe a little too hyped. But then you have to look at someone like, you know, Fats Russell, who comes in. You know, I watched this kid play plenty at Rhode Island. You know, love this kid's game. He's a stud. He's lightning quick. And, you know, but one thing Turgeon kept saying over and over in the preseason was, you know, we need him to turn into more of a facilitator and not be a scorer. And that's just, not his game. And it's one of those things where it's like you're trying to put, you know, a square peg in a round hole. And I feel like early in the season, that's kind of what was happening with Maryland's backcourt, and it just wasn't working. You know, and at first when Ayala went out, you know, with the concussion or whatever, you know, last month or the month before, and that's kind of when Fats really seemed to pick it up. And I think it's because that was kind of the moment where he had to become his old self. Like, he had to become a scoring guard. You know, he had to look for his shot first. And then when he started doing that with Ayala back, all of a sudden you got this dynamic backcourt. And I think that's what people like myself expected from the get-go, whereas it almost feels like Turgeon was, I mean, I hate to say it, almost holding him back because he wanted him to be more of a playmaker and distributor versus kind of what his game is.
Right. And this, you know, asking for a player to do that, I mean, obviously, even on the next level, if you're talking about NBA, overseas, professional basketball, you adjust your game to what the needs are. But if you're not there yet and you've been playing and succeeding at this level for many years, and then at the last minute, when you're almost done, somebody asks you to totally change your game, it's kind of like, was that a conversation they had before he even came here? Right. That's the thing. That if it was a conversation he had before he came here, then it's a whole other story. But if he got here and he said, okay,
And the thing that's kind of interesting about it is you look at the lead guards under Turgeon. I mean, you look at Cowan, you look at, you know, Mello. I mean, these were guys who were, I mean, score first. I mean, you know, they would distribute the ball, but their games were kind of similar. And I get it, you know, if you're Turgeon, you know, you look at Fats, I mean, he's just a small guy. And I get possibly being worried about him being able to, you know, get in the lane, absorb contact, and finish at the rim. But we're seeing at the end of this season, he can do it at this level. Right, there's absolutely no doubt about it.
Right. And that was my thing, you know, when this happened and people were asking me a question, what do they think? Do they think Danny, you know, is going to fit well? And I tell people all the time, you know, Danny was a former player. And, you know, the conversation you had with the guys is basically like, look, what's done is done. We have to move forward. Ayala's last year, I mean, they have some experience on the team. So, yeah, we have no time to cry about it. What's done is done. It already happened. Now we have to move forward. So I was like, look, you know, by the time the first of the year starts, I think they can possibly turn things around, change things, but obviously we've seen how that went. They had some good wins. They had you can see glimpses like
Ohio State.
Right, it's a possibility that things can get better. And you know, me being a former player, I'm always optimistic. Anyway, like look, I've been in situations where we had to do it, and I've seen it done. So it's possible. But like I said, it's the first season of guys, and you're still trying to get them to jail and. It was too much going on. And then there's too much going on around the program in the sense of, you know, what is going to happen? Like, is the coach staying, the coach left? Like, it was uneasiness. And you kind of could see that even when you're watching the games, the identity, they're trying to figure things out. It was an unfortunate situation.
And I'll say this too. The one thing I think has kind of plagued this team the last few years, let's say, under Turgeon, and then, you know, the last couple months even under Danny, but, you know, a lot of games, it just feels like they get off to a slow start for whatever reason. But I did kind of find it interesting. And this, again, this goes back to personalities where, you know, the Ohio State game, they kind of came out looking like gangbusters, you know, one big, I mean, it was never really in doubt, it feels like. And you look at Ayala after his game, he says, yeah, Coach Williams came in and talked to us before the game and I was ready to run through a wall. And that's not really what you hear guys say when they talk about, you know, Turgeon's pregame or Danny. You know, and that's not to say they're bad coaches or anything. It's just not really their personality.
Right,
And sometimes it just feels like that's what Maryland needs.
Exactly. And I've been to a couple of games, and I actually was at the last home game for the season. And when I walked in there, it looked like the game hadn't even started yet in regards to the attendance. And I'm like, I've never seen it. I mean, when I used to go to the women's games years ago, when I was there, it would be that resembles that, but not for a men's basketball game. I've never seen it that empty like that. And it's just what did you, I mean, what do you, cause
I mean, I'll say this, like, I mean, I'm a little bit older than you. But I mean, I grew up, I mean, literally sitting courtside, like during Gary's first, like, you know, probation years.
But even back then,
you know, playing in Cole, knowing the team couldn't play in the postseason, they still had more fans than you saw at the end of this season in the arena. And like that, that's kind of a scary thought. And you start to wonder, like, has apathy set in? Like, you know, where, what are fans thinking at this point? But I'm with you. Like, I mean, you see it. You can't help but notice that the attendance, it just wasn't there. And you know, you can say COVID, and you know, more people watch on TV. But I mean, it was bad. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. I mean, it was not good. So I think that's again why this next hire is just crucial.
Absolutely. And people ask me all the time, who you think? And I mean, you know, you hear all type of things like, you know, Maryland thinks they get big names, but they're not in the elite school. And I'm saying Maryland is, it's in this area. DC's right down the street. They have all this talent in their backyard, PG County. I mean, think about all the kids that left here to go to other schools. So we have talent all around here. So I wouldn't say that it's not an elite job, because if you get the right hire and you get the right kids to stay home, I mean, you know, so I think what is crucial is recruiting. And I think that's where, you know, I think I heard Coach Turch had problems with in regards to being able to get the players, you know, the likability and things like that. Right. But like I said, if you was able to have those guys that have close ties with this area or kids respect or they know,
right,
I think it would make a huge difference. Even if they're not the head coach, but they on the bench somewhere and they're involved.
Funny you say that. You know, I was kind of mentioned that on our site's message board earlier today. But I feel like so many fans are so caught up in who the head coach is going to be, but a lot of people don't realize, like, unless it's like a Rick Pitino who's been in the Hall of Fame for a decade already, it's almost as important or more important who their staff is, because those are the guys that are going to be talking with the AU coaches, the high school coaches, the parents, like as much or more than the head coach. And those relationships are the ones that get you the top players.
Absolutely. And I tell guys all the time, even when I was getting recruited by Maryland, it wasn't Coach Williams that was always at the game. I mean, he would come out and be at the game. Don't get me wrong. He would be, but Dave Dickerson, Coach Passos, Benny Hunt, those were the guys that was writing the letters every single day at all the games. It was always like there. So it wasn't Coach Williams that was writing me letters every day or coming to games every day. It wasn't that. Like you said, it's those guys on the bench, and those guys are the ones that are going to be talking to the players and dealing with the players all the time. So if you don't have that person on the bench that's likable, that can go out there and be like a Dave Dickerson or a Pat Sos, that's the real likable be that people like and love, I mean, it's going to be tough.
I'll say this too. Like, I feel like some of the names that have been mentioned – and I'll just name one, but like, you know, Mike Bray's been mentioned. You know, he's a DeMatha guy. I'm sure you're familiar with him. But, you know, a lot of fans just seem to be just totally against it. They don't want him. You know, Notre Dame hasn't been good the last couple of years. But the one thing you got to kind of remember, though, is he's a guy who's so well-connected in this area. I mean, I've literally talked to some guys who are like, yeah, if he were the coach, I'd probably come coach with him. And these are guys that you want on your staff recruiting the top players. So I almost feel like some people just get too caught up in who the head coach is and don't even give any consideration to who their staff's going to be.
Right. Hey, but before we talk some more Maryland basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit more about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season stepping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, like I said, you know, for me, you know, people ask me all the time, who do you want to be the next coach and this and that and the third? I say this is probably one of the biggest hires, I would say. You know, even if people don't think it's an elite school or whatever, I say that because you had, you know, Giselle, You had, you know, Bui Fazenda, you had Gurry, and then you had Turridge. But now, who's going to be that next guy to take over? It's going to be a high. It's going to be a high pressure job for sure, because they're going to be expecting winning immediately, because they were so. Even though the guys went to the tournament so many, like a number of times through the past, but they were unhappy with, I guess, the environment of it all and how things were going. So the next hire is going to be crucial. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to be the AD in this situation or the president to make these choices. I wouldn't want that job right now. I wouldn't want that job. So it's more so like I said, the likability, that definitely going to play a part. And like you said, the head coaching job is crucial. But just as crucial as who you put on that bench on that sideline with you is going to be just as crucial.
Absolutely.
So I'm super curious about that. But I'm also curious about, since you've been around the program so long, if you can make it however you want to make it to get things back to, I guess, to get the arena field back up and that environment back to what it used to be in a sense, what would be your perfect situation, even if it's not doable? What would be your perfect, like, if it was my choice, this is what I would like to see happen?
I mean, I feel like this is kind of doable at this moment, so I'm just gonna say it. But you know, I've had some sources that, I mean, in the past have been rock solid with info, especially on coaching info, that continue to, even with the denials from Patino himself on social media and Maryland Athletic Department, that, you know, even like still this morning they're telling me they're hearing, you know, rumblings about Patino and Maryland. And I'll say this, like, I get it. I know I've heard from people who've worked for him. He's not easy to work with. You know, he's very demanding, not just of his players, but of his coaches. But he's a guy, when you look at him, I mean, he's already in the Hall of Fame. He's taken multiple schools to Final Four, three schools to Final Fours, won two national titles with two different schools. You know, and you also look at, you start looking at some connections. I mean, you know, you look at a Kenny Johnson, who was associate head coach at Louisville. Mm-hmm. Could he maybe bring him back? I mean, he's about as plugged in as you get in the DMV. Right. And now, you know, he's a big time recruiter. So, you know, you start looking at a Patino with a Kenny Johnson potentially. I mean, again, and if you take Maryland at face value, it's not going to happen.
Right.
But if it were to happen, I think you'd start seeing an increase of season ticket holders immediately. I mean,
absolutely.
He's about as, other than say Calipari, maybe Roy Williams and Coach K, I mean, he's about as big a name as there is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I definitely agree with that. I definitely think that, you know, like you said, ticket holders and season tickets and all those things, they would definitely get picked up because of who he is and his stature. Like you said, the Hall of Fame coach.
Right.
And just his stature, pretty, like when he's in a room, like it's just, he has that aura in a sense.
He's about to take Iona to a second straight NCAA tournament. I mean,
exactly.
That's really all you need to know.
Right. So, I mean, like you said, that would be, if you want to get people happy and get people, because that's what it is right now. It's a popularity type of thing where if you want to get your fans back in the arena, you want to keep your boosters and alumni happy. I mean, that's pretty much that's what it is right now. I mean, obviously you want to win games. That's huge. But I think that also plays a part because, I mean, you sell tickets, you get the money, you get the revenue, that all plays a part as well too. So,
and the other thing you got to remember is, I mean, and I'm sure you know this from playing in it, but I mean, Maryland is known for its home environment. I mean, if you look at, you know, average attendance throughout the years, I mean, Maryland's top 15, top 10 attendance going back decades. I mean, all the way back to, like, you know, those days of Dwayne Simpkins and those guys in the you know, early 90s. So, I mean, to see, like you said, what the attendance has been like down the stretch here at home the last, you know, month or so, and then knowing how rabid this fan base is, I mean, it's just so important to get people back in the stands and get them invested again. And I just think that's the kind of, and that's not to say there aren't other guys out there who I think could do well here, but I think he's the guy who right off the bat, like, sells tickets, gets everyone excited again. And look, I get it. There are going to be some people who are going to come out and have some negative PR and some bad things to say, but as soon as they start getting recruits and winning, that goes away. It's gone.
Absolutely. I mean, even when Coach Williams was first hired, I mean, it was things said over this first couple of years. I mean, things are going to be said pretty until the season starts. And like you said, they start winning games. then everybody kind of goes back to being quiet and just enjoying enjoying the environment. But we, like I said, we know how Maryland fans are. We know how they are. So I mean, it is what it is. But like we said, we definitely agree that this hire is crucial to getting people back in the stands, and we can't have another year like this year. And it has to be an immediate impact, whether it's from the fan standpoint of view or winning right away. So we have Michigan State coming up. We just played Michigan State. I was also at the Michigan State game when they had a very good chance of winning it, but it didn't go down like that. So what are your thoughts on in regards to going to this game? Do we even have a chance? I mean, so before we get into this, right. I'm gonna say like this: it's not the same roster, of course, not the same personnel. But I remember we were on the bubble going into the tournament in 2004. Nobody thought we had a chance. It was no chance at all. We was not supposed to be in the tournament, but then we end up going on that run when people didn't really think it was possible. We were young and we had the up and down season where we were win big games and then lose these games and win the big games up and down. So for me, from a player perspective, you get hired at the right time. I mean, anything is possible. It's tournament time. Anything is possible. You've seen big teams get taken out by lower seeds. I mean, so anything is possible. What are your thoughts? Could this be one of those times, or is just like, it is what it is. Let's call it a season. Let's chalk it up and let's focus on.
I mean, you look back. You looked at that. I mean, what was that? 2004, right?
Right.
Yeah, that 2004 team that you were on. I mean, you know, you look at what Gilchrist did in that tournament. I mean, like you said, I mean, he was practically unstoppable. But I mean, you look at what Fats and Ayala have been doing of late. I mean, they've kind of been playing that same way. So
right.
And you look at the Michigan State games I've already played, and you know, if they don't get off to that horrible start in this last game, I don't think they lose that game. I mean, it was simply a matter of, it's almost like they forgot the game started for the first like 5-10 minutes.
Right.
And it feels like if they can just come out focused, you know, just even for that first 4 minutes, right to that first media timeout, and just not dig themselves into a hole. I just don't think this Michigan State team is that talented to where they're just going to beat the heck out of them. Right. I think as long as they can keep it close early, they can absolutely beat this team.
Right. I mean, I think so. Like I said, I've seen a couple of games. I was at one of the games where I thought they had a good chance to win. If it wasn't for a pick and roll situation at the last minute,
right.
I thought they could have won the game. But like you said, like those guys with the experience, Ayala's last year, I mean, it's tournament time, you know, and like I said, what coaches always say is a new season. You have a few different seasons within the season. You have, you know, preseason, you have regular season, and then you have tournament time. Tournament time is a whole new season. It's 0-0. So, I mean, if you go in with that attitude, that play your heart out, anything is possible, our last run, our last hurrah, and then, you know, anything is possible.
And I mean, if you look at, say, you know, the bracket, but, you know, you just look at the teams that, you know, they could possibly play. I mean, you know, after Michigan State, you know, Wisconsin, you know, they got the best player in the league, but they're beatable. I mean, they just lost a game they shouldn't have lost the other day.
Right.
And, you know, and then you look at Purdue or say maybe an Ohio State, and also on that side of the bracket, you know, they beat Ohio State. And they didn't beat Purdue, but they, you know, they were right there till the last buzzer. Right. So, I mean, is it likely? No, but they've played well enough against the teams that they're probably going to face that. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. They could absolutely make a run versus, you know, this field.
Right. So say if, you know, obviously we want them to win, but they don't win. How fast do you think that we get that new hire? Obviously, because it has to be very soon, because recruiting, they got to get on the road as soon as they start recruiting. So it has to be like immediately if they're not in talks right now.
I mean, if you assume that some of the names that you've heard are the guys that are actually most likely to be hired. So at this point, I mean, I guess we're pretty much talking about a Patino, a Willard, or say a Bray. And I want to say those are the three names I've heard the most that at this point haven't just signed an extension with their current school. So yeah. I feel like if it's one of those three, you know, I would think as soon as they're eliminated, you're bringing them in for the official interview and you're trying to lock this down.
Right.
So I think you're probably looking anywhere from in the next, 2 weeks from now to the first week of April, somewhere in there, depending on, you know, where the main target ends up finishing in the tournament. You know, if they make the second weekend, you obviously got to wait. But I just feel like unless one of these guys goes on a major, major run, I would think it's probably going to happen before April.
Right. I mean, like you said, that it has to happen ASAP because the time is, you know, like I said, they got to get on the road like right now or very soon to start recruiting. So we definitely, I know the AD president want to get this out the way as soon as possible because I know the heat is on from everybody to try to get somebody good in there. And they want to get this over with and done with and move on from everything that took place just this season.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I think, you know, barring one of these guys making like a Final Four run or Elite Eight run, I think you're most likely going to see something, you know, probably 2 to 3 weeks from now before the end of April. But I think that's what you're looking at. And then obviously after that, you know, the next big thing is trying to get that staff together as quickly as possible. And like you said, get out there and start recruiting because they're likely going to have a number of roster spots to fill.
Absolutely. Do you, now before I let you go, is it important? How do you feel about they need to have a former Maryland player on that staff that would help, that could help obviously bring, you know, the fans and the alumni they know and that can help, but also they're still coaching. Like everybody obviously, you know, you're hearing Nwan Dixons and you right. know, you got Dwayne Simpkins over at Mason. I'm pretty sure he's looking for a head coaching job, but I mean I'm pretty sure he wouldn't mind coming and being at his alma mater. You know what I mean?
I mean, I know Dwayne might have been very interested in being an assistant at Maryland a couple of years ago. So yeah. I feel like is it super important? I don't know. It's hard to say. That said, I feel like depending on which one of these guys it is, I feel like Dwayne would very much likely be in the mix for maybe saying like an associate head coach type position. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if it came up, I would think just based on what I've heard in the past, he'd probably be pretty likely to take it. And I think he's a guy that Maryland fans would love to see on the staff. I know he would kill to be back in College Park. You know, working mm-hmm. here is a dream job for him. Mm-hmm. And I think he'd be tremendous. I mean, he's a great coach, a good recruiter. He gets you back into Dematha where, you know, they kind of haven't landed anyone for, I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think it'd be important to an extent, but I think getting the right guy, and I think someone like Dwayne would be the right kind of guy. And I think depending on who it was, I think there'd be a very good chance that Dwayne would possibly be on that staff.
I mean, I know Dwayne would love to go back to Maryland. You know, that's like my brother, so I know we speak, but I know he would love to, you know, just to be back. Like I said, former player there, loves Maryland. I want to be a part of them. You know, obviously looking for a head coaching job sometime soon, but I'm pretty sure it would turn out if Mike Bray was to come, another right. Dematha guy, why wouldn't you bring Dwayne Simpkins with you, another Dematha guy? That also, I mean,
And for what it's worth, I'll just say this. I maybe have talked to another assistant at another school who knows Dwayne, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's talked to one of the guys who might be the coach and maybe mentioned that he could come too. So right. There's stuff happening in the background, trust me. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, absolutely. And it'd be huge, and I think that would get fans back in the stands, and I think they will be excited, or at least they will give it a chance to see how that goes, and wouldn't be in so much of an uproar right now.
I 100% agree. I think having someone like him on staff would be huge as far as, you know, the boosters and fans go.
Right. Well, Scott Green, man, I definitely appreciate you joining the Go Terps with Travis Garrison. I appreciate your time, your input. I'm definitely curious to see how, you know, the rest of the season goes, starting with Michigan State. Hopefully we can get this win and kind of get things going to finish the season out as best as we can. I definitely look forward to catching up with you. I know I'll probably catch you at some of the games coming up this following season as well.
Yep. All right. Sounds good, man. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you.